it is time for Speaking of Schools, our bi-weekly check-in on public education. And today we're talking Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, who have just returned from their spring break and are beginning Plan A this week with some of their elementary school students. Joining me on the phone to talk about this and everything else that's going on around the district is Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Superintendent Dr. Nia Hamlett. Dr. Hamlett, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me again.
Welcome back from spring break as well. I know that the district is in a bit of a changing period right now. You guys had a week last week where you were in Plan B, welcoming some students back into the classroom. And today is the first day of some students back in Plan A. How has this transition been going? I know that a lot changed pretty quickly within the last month or so since we last talked.
It did. A lot has changed, and we're just so excited to be able to welcome our students back today. Actually, today is the day. But last week, we had a week of what we called a week of acclimation, where we gave our families and our students and our staff an opportunity to try to get, you know, reacclimated and used to having in-person instruction. So we did that in Plan B last week. And then today, all of our elementary students, so pre-K through fifth grade, and our middle school and high school students with IEPs and 504 plans, as well as our newcomers, have started this week, and they'll be in school 4 days a week, so in Plan A. So we're really excited to welcome them back and to see the smiling eyes in the classrooms and on the buses.
I'm sure it's very exciting for both the students and some of the teachers being back together in person. What was some of the feedback you guys heard during that transition week 2 weeks ago when it was the first time that students were, you know, back in classrooms with instructors?
Well, I tell you, I received many emails from parents just thanking us for getting back into the flow, and about some excited students who were coming home with stories, and again, just that excitement to be back in the classroom. And I also heard from several teachers who said, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's different, but, you know, it's something that is necessary, and they were just so excited to see their students. So I'm glad that we were able to do that week of acclimation just to kind of let our hair down a bit and get back into the flow, you know, with these different protocols. And then have our spring break, and now we're back at it and excited to end the year strong.
Along those notes, I know that some students and families are still remaining remote during this period. And so if they're hearing stories about, you know, students returning to classrooms, having a good time, what is the messaging from you guys at the top of the district to these families who have chosen to stay remote in terms of, you know, we are still going to make sure that you guys are involved. We're still going to make sure you guys get, you know, the best experience that we can for the rest of this semester before looking at a transition back to kind of a more normal schedule in the fall?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I think was important, so with Senate Bill 220, which is the bill that required that classrooms and schools across North Carolina start to get students back into in-person instruction. But one of the things that that bill allowed was for Plan A to be 4 or 5 days a week. Originally, it did say 5 days a week to the maximum extent possible. And our school board chose to go with 4 days a week for that very reason, to give our families of students who remained in the full remote option that opportunity, and not just for those students, but also those who were in person, to have an asynchronous learning day where they get that opportunity for small group instruction, as well as, you know, check-ins with students and to have that social emotional learning component. But it's really to also fully engage our remote students, to give them that opportunity for small group and individualized attention on Wednesdays as well as throughout the week.
That makes sense. And I know you guys are still just kind of getting your feet underneath you with having kids back in the classrooms, but what are some of the challenges that the district is still looking to figure out? I know that a lot did have to change, of course, not only in how you know, things were being taught and how kids are in the classrooms too, but a lot of things like meal programs and, you know, bus schedules and all that stuff. What are some of the things the district is still probably going to take a little bit in order to figure out as this new in-person model is re-implemented?
Well, I'll tell you, you hit the nail on the head. We've had, I think, three, maybe even four bus route changes. So our transportation department is working so hard to make sure that our students and our families are, you know, getting the right information and getting on the right buses. And so we've had those changes that have transpired, and we're working through that. Our food for students program is having to adjust just a bit because we still have Wednesdays. That is helpful, so we're able to still provide meals for several days on Wednesdays for our students. And then, of course, students are getting those meals when they, those of them who are in school in person. And then some of the other challenges that I would just say are really getting used to these new protocols. Although the CDC and others have said that the social distancing requirement can be reduced from 6 feet to 3 feet, one of the things that we're trying to do is to maintain 6 feet to the maximum extent possible, even at the elementary level, where we know that it is allowable for them to be within 3 feet of each other. So just really making those adjustments, keeping the protocols up to par, and making sure that our cleaning protocols are up to par as well, just so that we can have that, you know, extra sense of caution and safety to make sure that our families and our staff and students are safe.
We're speaking with Dr. Naya Hamlet, the superintendent for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. Their website is chccs.org, the place to go for all of the information regarding the district. And Dr. Hamlet, of course, the return to in-person, certainly the big discussion that's happening around the schools right now, but there's a lot of other things happening around the district. I know that one of them is the district is participating in the North Carolina First in FAFSA challenge. And FAFSA, of course, is a free application for federal student aid. It is a way for high schoolers to fill out a form, try and get some federal aid in order to go to college. I'm hoping you can share a little bit about, you know, the usefulness of this FAFSA resource and the district signing up to join in this statewide kind of competition to see if districts can improve how many people are, you know, filing for FAFSA.
Yeah, so that it's been great. Our high schools joined the First in FAFSA challenge really to promote FAFSA completion, and they actually have a chance to win $500 for their school. And there will be winners, from what I understand, winners in four categories. There's a winner for the overall highest percentage of FAFSA completions, the overall highest percentage increase in the completion of FAFSA, and the best FAFSA completion strategy statewide, so that's an award, and then the best FAFSA completion strategy through priority districts. But all of our high schools have registered for the challenge. We've received 100% participation notification, and based on the results shared a few weeks ago, it looked like we were contenders. So I'll have to check in and see how we're doing now. But it's been great. And then also in mid-March, we had a successful virtual parent FAFSA night where over 40 families participated. So we're getting the word out there and really working with our students through our school counselors and our teachers to make sure that our students have access to the FAFSA and all the information they need to be prepared for life after high school.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a key resource for people taking that next step in many forms and fashions. Turning to what to expect this week, I know that the school board does have a meeting on Thursday. What are some of the things that people can expect to be discussed at that?
We are discussing the budget, so the superintendent's proposed budget. We did that a couple of weeks ago, and so we have our budget work session on Thursday with our school board. And then our board will also receive an update on our preliminary summer programming. And that's really, we've been talking a lot, and this is about, you know, just how schools have closed and the things that we need to do differently. We've been talking a lot about extended year, extended week, and extended day opportunities for our students. So we'll be providing an update for our board on our summer programming. And then You know, we're also working through what the meeting format will look like for our school board. So they'll be discussing that topic again as well on Thursday.
Yeah, that is definitely something that some folks have been keeping an eye on, too. And board members have mentioned that, you know, if the students in the school, the rest of the district is moving back to a hybrid learning model or a model where kids are in person together, maybe school board members should be too, but then of course still figuring out the dynamics of how public comment and stuff like that will work. It's definitely kind of a tricky topic.
It is. And then we also have some space constraints, so we'll just really have to figure it out and be creative, but that's what great educators do, so we'll do that for our board and make sure that they have a meeting space that's conducive to them being able to conduct their business.
We're speaking with CHCCS Superintendent Dr. Naya Hamlett. Once again, the district's website is chccs.org. Dr. Hamlett, we've got to begin to wrap up the conversation, but is there anything else going on around the district you want to let the listeners know about?
Well, I'll tell you, we have we're always recruiting substitute teachers, so that's a great thing, and would love for our listeners to look that up and get some more information. We could always use some wonderful substitutes. And then also, I'm really excited. We'll be hiring, and a job is posted, a chief equity and engagement officer. So that's a great opportunity for our district. And then I'll just have to say, I have to give a shout out to our East Chapel Hill High lacrosse teams. The girls won the state championship, and the boys lost in the state championship. But we're so proud of the great season that our student athletes experienced and with our East lacrosse team. So we're really excited about that.
Definitely an impressive journey for both of those teams. How rare is it to have both of them competing in the state championship the same weekend? It's
right.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Well, congratulations.
Pretty amazing, and we have some amazing student athletes, so we're excited for them.
Well, congratulations to them again, and if you want to learn anything else that we have been talking about today, as well as what Dr. Hamlett mentioned regarding substitute teachers and the other equity position too, chccs.org, the website to go to. And Dr. Naya Hamlett, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.